and boom. Ladies, come suck on their two remaining toes, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I guess we're going to run out of time today for the Jerry Lewis telethon tape, but
Jerry,
Rob, tell us what we got. At least an hour's worth of listening to Jerry. We'll have to do that on the upfront part of tomorrow's show.
The ailing Jerry.
Also, keep in mind next week when we are up in New York, we're doing a brand new contest called Hold It.
Hold It.
For our brand new bits, we'll be giving away a trip to L.A. for the final episode of Survivor Africa. Courtesy of the Amazing Race.
That's a great prize.
Okay, a Survivor Africa, even though it's courtesy of the Amazing Race, Wednesday on CBS. Find out which team gets the boot at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Okay, I think we've covered the fact that I had the kidney thing done, Buzz right. had the stomach thing done, right. and Rob was here. Running the best of show the last week.
Yeah.
Oh, and incidentally, we're back now. No more vacations, no more nothing.
No more vacations at all, I was told.
Until Christmas. That's it. And we're thinking about working Christmas Day, as a matter of fact.
There you go. And just to, you know, to be different.
We're thinking about it. While we're doing this, Mike gets on Air Cunnilingus.
Yes.
And takes his family over to, his place, Ireland.
Yeah, I took the whole family. I took my daughters over. I took the neighbor across the street to babysit for us when we went out to the pubs at night. And was really excited about going over to the old sod. I feel bad about what I'm going to say. I really do. I already feel bad about what I'm going to say.
Don't feel bad. Say the
because
truth.
I have to tell you the truth that I... 2 years ago, when we took a vacation over to Ireland, I really came back saying to myself that this really, the people over there and the way we got along, it was just so amazing. It was so wonderful, and it's just amazing what 2 years can do. It can change things, and while I won't go so far as to say that I hate the Irish people, I will go so far as to
you
say...
You did use the word Mick in the office today.
Now stop it.
You did.
Yes, I was talking about myself, of course.
No.
I'm a dumb Mick for doing this vacation there. No. What we do, when I go over to Ireland, I don't make any reservations. And when you go over with just your wife, as I did a couple of years ago, that's very easy to do. And when you go over with five people, it's a little tougher to do because we had to get two rooms. And it was a little more difficult. But what I noticed was my idea of a good time over in Ireland would be, you know, driving through the countryside, walking around some nice little town during the day, and then in the evening, you know, I have dinner with the whole family, and then Laura and I would go out to hang out, and you usually would find interesting and engaging and enlightening and fun conversation. And this time, I don't know whether it's just the luck of the draw, we didn't seem to find the pleasantness that that you would associate with the country of Ireland. What I found was the kind of attitude you would associate normally with a country where Americans are not that well received. And I think
France.
You know, 2 years ago, it seemed like a more innocent country. This year you got over there, you know, they're all wired into the net over there in Ireland right now. And everybody's got, it seemed to me really that everybody had a cell phone. And the cell phones, I didn't see any the last time we were over in Ireland. And it seems like they've become more Americanized, and as they have become more Americanized, it's not that big a deal. And, you know, part of the deal was I used
Where's
to...
Where's the hatred I heard earlier?
Well, the hatred's coming. The hatred's coming. But I'm just trying to explain my, you know, in as genteel a way as I can, you know, why these people pissed me off so bad while I was over there.
The Irish.
You know, the one night we did go to a pub where everybody had obviously been there for hours and we got there very late. And there were a couple of guys there where there was a lot of conversation that was just like, with a guy breathing on me. And, you know, it was kind of charming because, you know, that's, they were in a pub and like a few guys had had too much to drink. And I called you when I was on my vacation.
Oh, yeah, let me just say, that was very nice, very unexpected call.
Yeah, I called you, but I guess it was in the evening, and I was speaking to you in the middle of the day.
Yeah, a very nice, unexpected call. I looked at the phone. It said, no caller on caller ID. It said, right. ID number not known. Mm. I picked the phone up, and was Mike checking to see how my surgery had gone.
Well, I also
didn't appreciate it.
And I wanted to vent a little bit about this experience that I'm going to tell you about now, where we're in a pub, and these guys are just S-faced, and it was okay because they were talking to both of us.
Typical mix.
And I said, hey, now, come on. Come on, be nice. So anyway, it was
repeating what I heard.
Okay. So this one guy, I say, where are you from? And he goes, I'm from Sligo. Which apparently is in the north part of the country. I said, well, where is that exactly? And he looks at Laura and he says, well, you know, Ireland is like a woman. If you look at the country of Ireland, and he points to Laura's forehead, and, you know, and I'm not an idiot, and I'm like, okay, he's going to do the whole map, and when he gets down to the city of Cork, I don't want his finger down there, okay?
Right, that's where he wants to put it.
Exactly. So I said, hey, back off, Pachango. You know, and I said it in a nice way, but it's like, okay, I'm in a very nice part. And then another guy came over and he's like, you two seem very nice. And I excuse myself and go to the can, and that's when he looked at my wife and said, you know what you need? And I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but it's not the way we say it, but what he said would be spelled, and I don't think I'm going to get in trouble, but I'll try it, would be spelled F-E-K-K-I-N-G. That's how they pronounce it.
You need a fecking. Now, don't delete that out, because I didn't say the F-U word.
No, and he said that when we came back. Now, those are the two little experiences
I
had.
You need a fecking.
A good
fecking.
Yeah. And then apparently there was an offer of a full body massage, apparently, when I had ducked in the sweet, innocent Irishman, when I had ducked in. So that was the only night during the entire trip where we had gone out, and we...
Hi, lassie.
You know what you need. Let me say, just what you need while your husband's in the esser.
What's that, sir?
You need a good
fecking.
And, you know, and we laughed about it at the time. And we, the thing that bothered me is that is the only night where we went out where I really didn't, I felt like there was an attitude. I felt as though this could be just the places we went, the towns we went. You know, we drove kind of willy-nilly. We stopped wherever we would stop. But the last night we were there, and this is where I might have used some derogatory terminology, and this is where I developed just a very small hatred of my own people, my ancestral home.
Mike hates the Irish.
We go into this hotel in this town. And the big thing over there, it used to be the pubs, and the pubs would close at 11:30, and everybody would go home, and it was fine.
Hold on.
Yes, hold on.
We got a break. I apologize because we did all that crap with the caulk gun. Well, I will tell you.
We're getting right up to the.
I will tell you about why my last night in Ireland, when I got 2.5 hours of sleep because of where we were located in the hotel.
Are you ready to say F the Irish?
No. No, of course not. I could never say that. I could
but
never
you said
say
lots of bad stuff in the office.
I'll say some bad stuff, but I will never go that far. You will never get me to go that far. I'm shaving my head, for Christ's sake. I mean, give a man his due, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank we will you. Be right back. The Mick will tell us more.
Okay. Okay. Hey, the Sudafed's kicked in. Don't call me a Mick.
Okay, I'm only repeating what I heard.
Okay. Call me a Mick.
Okay.
Don't call me a Mick.
Okay. Well,
I'm only repeating what I heard.
Call myself a Mick.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
They're marvelous, you daffy bastard. Leave them alone. They're beautiful.
If they weren't on the radio, they'd be holding me up. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, we were just looking at this Jerry Lewis tape from the telephone. You know, Rob tapes it and logs it every year.
Yeah, lots of good stuff from Jerry.
And, my God, just Rob's incredibly anal notes. The stuff you're going to hear, I guess, on tomorrow's show. What does it say? Jerry welcomes Canada. Jerry speaks, sweats, shakes, gasps, and slurs.
All right.
Tony Danza seems concerned for Jerry. Senile Jerry rambles about Ralph's grocery store. Let me see. I have a thought.
Uh-oh.
No. Always dangerous.
Yeah, you never know what Jerry's going to say.
Jerry thoughts starts with I have a thought. a spot where Rob is convinced Ed is drunk. Big fat Jerry can't see his stool.
Well, Jerry.
Jerry says it's marvelous. Oh, and we have a ticker, incidentally, this year. You're going to hear the the dinger. Every time Jerry says something is marvelous.
Marvelous.
Good. Marvelous. And, of course,
I'm singing You Never Walk Alone.
Breathlessly singing it.
Although Rob notes, mostly spoken this year. Not sung, mostly spoken.
And you won't. And he cries. There you go.
But that'll be, that's tomorrow's episode. You know, we are just hearing about Mike's trip to Ireland.
Ah, yes, the trip to the old sod.
Your home country.
Well, I'm very depressed because I didn't find the Irish to be as warm and cuddly as the last time I was there. And I was telling you about the last night of my trip.
Right.
And as I was during the commercial break, I was thinking there's one thing that you'll enjoy you'll feel vindicated when I share with you the fact that my side view mirror was exploded on one of those little, pathways they call roads over there.
Oh, so when I'm driving, it's that I'm a bad driver when I knock the rear view mirror off the car.
Yeah, it was on my side, though. It was on the driver's side.
The side view mirror,
and it was, and you did it. When you did it, it was in a town, and it was a parked car as we were going by.
Yeah.
When I did it, it was a side view mirror to side view mirror. Connected on this road with another minivan, and I was driving a minivan, you know, similar to the one that we had.
Yeah.
And the thing just went, you know, I'm driving along thinking I was doing a fine job, and all of a sudden you hear this bam, and the thing exploded, and the road is so narrow, we're up in the mountains, I couldn't stop, and when I told the guy at the rental car place, he was like, oh yeah, you're not the only American that's ever done that.
Irish never do that.
Yeah, like the Irish never do that. You know, so my last night, we're in this room, and we gotten two nights in this hotel, and the first night seemed okay, and maybe it seemed okay because I'd had a few, libations before, but the night before we were going to leave, I went to bed at 11:30, and so did my wife, and that's when it starts, and outside our window is this street that leads into the nightclub, and they don't close the pubs anymore at 11:30, they close the pubs and open the nightclubs, and this started at 11:30 with people going, let's wake Mike upstairs, hey, you. How are you up there? And it goes on until 3 o'clock in the morning where the people are out in this street. And then at 3 o'clock, they close this nightclub and they all come back out onto the street. And then it's more like, right underneath our window. And I'm looking down at this and there's just this sea of humanity. And they finally clear the street with these guys that look like security police. They clear the street and it gets quiet for about 5 minutes. And then after that, you hear this, big me up, Border Cup, baby. And in some part of the town, which is just as loud as when they were on the street, they're singing till 5 o'clock in the morning.
You know, what's funny here about this is that...
Yes.
it's quite a juxtaposed position. It's
I know that I'm complaining about people partying.
Yeah, you're complaining about drunk Irish people.
And maybe I would have felt differently if I was included, but I really felt my wife and I the night before had gone out to this pub, and nobody said a word to us, and all the guy did was just stare at my wife across the bar, and I'm usually engaging people in conversation when I'm over there. I'm not saying I'm an engaging personality, but I engage people in conversation.
Oh, you love to talk at a bar.
I love to talk at a bar, and I'm looking for it, like going, hey, how about that match today? And then they go off. And so I'm pissed off that after our night out, the next night, we're not getting, you know, we're being kept up. Not only did this happen, but the phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was like, oh, it's on a day. You think that's the wrong number?
Click.
Two guys try to get into my room, because I guess the fact that I was in room 214 was difficult to understand on the, and they try to get into the room. At one point, I fling the door open, and all my, you know, when you have to remember you're in a foreign country. You're in their country, you're the guest, and I always behave like this, but at one point, I flung the door open, and I said, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old in here who are trying to sleep. Can I help you? Oh, sorry, and the guy's still got a, like, 4:30 a beer in his hand. Oh, sorry, I had the wrong room. Sorry, brother. And he went down. And so I'm pissed off. And I would have felt differently. It would have been a different feeling if I had had any conversations with people when I was there. But when I was there and we went into the pubs trying to, you know, just get a feel for it, the feeling was, you know, like you would get in France. You know, jeez. But then you told me the French people were cool.
They were very nice.
Yeah. Well, and most of the people were nice, but it was just what pissed me off the most was that after all of this business of really not having conversations in this particular town we were in, and also, you know, bringing the kids over there, I would get a little upset when we go into a town and they'd say, you know, children aren't wanted in this particular hotel. That would irritate me a little bit, too. You know, even though that's their policy, and I'm sure they make it very public that that's their policy, it just irritates me when you go into a town and say, sorry, kids, not, you know, as long as they're dogs, you know, sorry, children not allowed. And that happened a couple of times. And in general, my feeling coming back would be that it's going to be a long time before I go back. And it bums me out again. You love that.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you I'm so happy I can make one person happy
you
about
that. You are renouncing your Irish roots right now. That's
no, I'm not renouncing my Irish roots. I'm saying it'll be a long time before I go over there with the people that, you know, that bump into you, that don't say excuse me, you know, that were staring at my wife across the bar but didn't want to have any conversations with us, you know, that were so loud until 4:45 in the morning chanting and stuff, but then wouldn't even give you the time of day when you'd have contact. And it all changed. And maybe it's because of the towns we went to. We went to different towns this time. The last time I was over there, it was great. We stayed at one place that we stayed before. But this time, I am pissed off at the Irish for this vacation not going well. I am very, very pissed off. But I will not renounce my Irish heritage.
What would you like to say to the Irish, though?
F-E-K. F-E-K apostrophe E-M.
Peckham.
Yeah, that's for that guy that gave my wife that offer in the pub. That's what I'll say for this particular time. And then, you know, would I go back? Of course I'd go back. I mean, it's a beautiful country. Very beautiful scenery. You know, good scenery. Don't look at it too closely, because otherwise your side view mirror will explode. Because their roads are big. Their roads, seriously, as we have said before on the show, are the side of our sidewalk.
Yeah, I know.
Very, very frustrating, but I'm very depressed. I was the last day coming back on the plane yesterday. I was extraordinarily depressed, and I also felt greater about coming back to the United States than on any trip that I'd ever been on before.
Wow. Good for you.
Truth.
Good for you.
My wife and I said this. We went in.
You're not an Irish American. You're an American Irish.
Yeah, we got in just in time, and you know what? While I was gone, they opened the food line.
Yeah, baby.
So there's that.
Yeah, brand new food line. Grade A grocery store. Very, very, very happy about that. Yeah, we went and toured it yesterday.
The grocery store.
Great.
Yeah. You want to call Ireland on tomorrow's show?
No, I'm not going to beat up on the Irish people because I think that I had a few circumstances that were unusual. This is as far as I go.
Okay.
I'm going to draw my line in the sand. I know you'd love to have me call and go, hey, F you. No, that won't happen.
Okay.
Because I still, you know, I have people. Yeah, Rob.
What?
Rob wants me to give him a gesture over the phone.
It's time for the news and the comments with Buzz.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's funny. You get mad at Irish people for being drunk and having a good time at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
When most times when we go out of town,
I'm drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
I know. This is true. This is true. But I'm not quite that loud.
No, you're not. You're very quiet.
That's right.
And when Mike is drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's only 10 p.m. in Ireland. So it's really nothing.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, it's 10 a.m., Rob.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Fairboat.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
And, Buzz, you know, we're running out of time today on the show. We didn't have time for your surgery. Did you bring in that thing?
I did. I brought the stitch. This is the stitch that was removed. This is a thick piece of nylon cord, like a fishing cord, and it's tied in 6 knots. It's about 4 inches long.
It smells like cheese.
And no, this is sterile, okay. But they dug 2 inches deep into my abdomen to dig that out.
They pulled that out of Buzz.
I feel much better now.
I heard about that in one of my many conversations. Invalid to Invalid was the name of our phone show this weekend.
I'm fine. How are you?
Was your doctor Irish?
No, not at all.
Okay. Buzz is recovered. What is your lead story tonight?
Oh, never mind the sharks in New York. A man is swallowed by a septic tank.
Okay, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned
for news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional, Don.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Break your neck.
nipples off their fine leather seats. Don and Mike.
Hey, listen, I know it's time for Buzz in the News, but I think the lead story really...
Pardon
me while I take my nose. The lead story outside of whatever it is that Buzz has. Has, you know, I don't know.
We got a little something happening up there?
I don't know if I do or not.
You got to rearrange the furniture?
I don't know. Does it look okay?
I don't see any snot sign, but you wiped it on your jersey.
Yeah, you ever get that feeling that that you've got a booger in there, and you just can't reach up and pick?
Did Steve Doocy, that old TV friend we used to have, ever do to you what he did to me that one time?
What?
Where he looks at me right before we were going to go on camera, we were going to do a live shot.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, hey, you got a little something right here, and he pointed to his nose. I didn't have anything there, but I'm sitting there realizing that the camera's about to go on, and all you're thinking about is, you might have like a turbo crunchy.
Buzz Burbank had surgery over the holiday.
He gave you his stitch.
And I hold in my hand the actual stitch, this thing. I'm touching it now, that was actually in Buzz's belly.
Wow. That's from the original life-saving surgery from 3 years ago.
That was holding Buzz's BM sack together, or whatever it was.
BM. My abdominal wall.
Yeah, thank you.
BM sack. I used to always go for that when I play Operation.
But the real lead story has to be something that Buzz told me in confidence. When Buzz and I spoke Buzz and I spoke last week more than we speak during a normal week.
We did.
Right. Because we were both convalescing from the
hospital bed to hospital bed.
and at one point, I hope I'm not embarrassing
you. No,
you're
fine. I wanted you to mention
when Buzz, we were talking, I said, how did your day go? And he said, fine, I had my first period.
Yeah,
and now here with that story is Buzz.
Well, Don was telling me how he was having difficulty tying his shoes. Now, his wife and his mother-in-law had to tie his shoes for him and help him because he was sore from his surgery. And I was saying, I can top that. I had my first period. Because after the surgery, I was still under, I guess, the influence of the local anesthetic in my lower abdomen. And my wife, of course, had like a million errands for us to do. So we went out and we did all these things and, you know, to the various shopping centers and places we had to go. And I got out of the car at one point to go into one of the stores, and I got out of the car and I felt dampness between my thighs. And I looked down and saw what I guess many women have seen over the years.
Discharge?
Yes, a large bloody spot on my crotch.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, why couldn't have that happened when I was being pulled over for, say, speeding? Because then I could just say, I'm having my period and right. I need to get home. But that's what it was. So, fortunately, nobody saw me, or that would have been...
Where was it coming from?
It was actually dripping down my abdomen. There was a little post-surgical leakage.
Leakage.
It stopped immediately, but...
So did they fix you all up now? Are you okay?
Who knows?
Well, now, see, here's the thing. My doctor seriously said to me, this valve that he put in my kidney, said to me, 40-year guarantee.
Mm-hmm. This is cracking me up.
Why?
I'm just thinking of the show we're doing now.
Yeah.
You wouldn't hear this on our show 15 years ago. You know,
no, you wouldn't.
We'd be talking about my doctor. You sound like we're all ready for the home. It's killing me. Really. What did your doctor say?
I got a 15-year... Excuse me. 15 years ago. I got a 40-year guarantee on the valve in my kidney.
And what did your doctor say, Buzz?
He said, I don't know. Who knows? This is one of many problems that we're still sorting out.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, wow, you mean you might have to go back in and have more junk done?
I don't know. I don't know. It's not.
They found this in there? Did they say this was the source of of your discomfort?
Yeah, it was causing a little discomfort, a little irritation, and it needed to come out. And as you can see, it's a sharp, pokey thing, and I'm glad to have it out of my gut.
Who wants it? I'll give it away. You mind if I give it away, Buzz?
No, I think it'd make a great prize if somebody wants it. It's sterile.
Rob thinks I should donate it to the newseum.
You know, it's not a bad idea.
No, but, you know, I'll give it to the first caller who wants.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I was wanting to see if you can, if Mike was still alive today.
Mike's alive. He's here.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Do you need to borrow a 9mm today?
Mike, do you need to borrow a 9mm today?
No, but you're scaring me, sir. Why would I need a 9mm?
Well, I just... Your Red Sox are just giving you a hard time these days.
Oh, yeah, it's a Red Sox.
Okay, thank you, my friends. Well, my fate will be worse than suicide. I saw a guy with a shaved head on the vacation. I can't look at bald guys anymore without thinking about it. Yeah. It's going to be horrible.
Your Red Sox has a candy show. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Heidi. Hey, I know you're off the subject on the headphones, but I think you forgot to cover one area there.
What's that?
Well, there's a concept known as inductive coupling when you have two inductive elements, like a headphone and a microphone, and it'll create a magnetic field.
Please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Calling for the stitch.
Yeah, you won.
Congratulations, man.
You want Buzz's stitch, really?
Yeah, I'm a fan of the show.
I'll send it to you. What's your name?
Miriam.
Miriam, where are you from?
I hate to say I'm from Waldorf.
Well, Miriam, let me describe this to you.
Get ready for Buzz Burbank to keep you in stitches.
It's roughly
4 inches long.
4 inches long. Yeah. It has a tie right near the bottom end of it.
Black nylon with like a little noose and six knots there.
And it's been in Buzz's
BM sack.
Sack.
My abdominal wall.
It's used to brew a glass of Buzz tea. Right there. It's wonderful. It's black in color.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure how it tastes. I'll leave that up to you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Hold on a second, please. Rob, get that right out to the fans.
Yeah, maybe she can come pick it up.
Send that to her. No, send it to her.
All right.
I'll send it to her.
Put it in the baggie and send it. Buzz, would you autograph something?
I'd be happy to do that.
Beautiful.
Autograph that stitch. That takes some doing.
Okay, Buzz?
Yes.
Hold on here. What was the lead story today?
A guy swallowed by a septic tank.
Okay, we'll do it right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, and I just found out Mike Hunt filled in for me, right?
My baby.
They listen to radio backward.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, everybody, please be patient with us the next couple of days. The thing with the commercials, we're going to cut down on the number of commercials. Thank God.
Ah, absolutely.
And, that's going to start on Monday. But right now, we're all backed up because we talk so much with the caught gun and the headphones. And
we talk so much on this show.
Talking about
we're really good at it. That's our downfall.
Chris Core earlier, so we got to fly right now. Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Officials on Long Island have recovered the body of a man who was swallowed up by his own cesspool yesterday.
Oh, God.
Michael Labasso.
Does he work at PLJ?
No.
For those who sewer.
Worked at DEA. Michael Labasso was practicing archery with his two kids in the backyard when the cesspool beneath them caved in. They actually located his body in all that sewage yesterday evening, just a few hours after the cave-in, but they weren't able to recover the body until today because of the quicksand quality of the goo and the cesspool walls which kept crumbling into the mess.
Oh, God, I mean, really, is there any worse way to go?
Maybe a shark attack, and there have been more of those in the news. A shark killed a guy in the waters off North Carolina yesterday and nearly killed the man's girlfriend. This time the victims were Russian nationals from the Washington, D.C. area. The attack happened just off North Carolina's Outer Banks.
Son of a bitch! You check.
Chop, chop, chop.
Stupid shark. Pay that shark his leg.
It happened just 2 days after another deadly attack just up the coast. Shark attacks have gotten a lot of publicity this year, but experts say the number of attacks has been about average, really. 52 shark attacks have been reported worldwide this year, 29 of them in Florida. So far, 3 people have died from those attacks. Boardwalk business, they say, at communities up and down the East Coast. Business has been down this year by about a third, people staying out of the water.
This doll's eyes.
I'll find them and I'll catch them for 10.
Coast Guard did a flyover today looking for gangs of sharks, and they didn't find any, so...
This is Amity. You don't need to do that with that. There's no shark problem. That guy.
What do you mean, gangs of sharks?
Yeah, gangs of sharks, schools of sharks, actually.
East Coast, West Coast.
Right, exactly.
Yo-yo!
Exactly.
Yo-yo, I'm going to bite your leg. Yo-yo, you get what I'm saying, homie?
The Bloods. This year's
I'm Willie Beamer.
Beamer.
This year's
Beamer. Is it Beamer?
Beamer.
Oh, that's Stephen Willie Beamer, right?
I'm with that any given Sunday
you're doing. Of course it is.
This year's big celebrity Halloween mask may bear the face of...
Gary Condon.
Exactly.
Yeah, way to go. You got it.
The California congressman. A Milwaukee costume company is surveying its customers to see if they'd be interested in that steely face and spiky hair. So far, over a third of the people polled say they would definitely go for the Condon mask. The costume company says if it follows through, it'll donate a portion of the profits to the Chandra Levy Reward Fund.
Right. Can you say one half of 1%?
You haven't seen the face of former Attorney General Janet Reno.
Have you seen the Chandra Levy costume?
No one has.
Oh, God.
Rob.
It's a box.
Oh, dear Rob.
It's a coffin.
Oh, Rob.
We haven't seen the face of former Attorney General Janet Reno much lately, but people in Florida
will be shaking around so much.
They'll be seeing her a lot in Florida in the days and weeks and months to come. Today, she's officially kicked off her campaign to become governor of the Sunshine State.
Go eat a S sandwich, filthy thing.
That's not necessary.
He does not like Janet Reno ever since she was Attorney General.
She's actually one of seven Democrats who run against the president's brother, Jeb. Surveys show that she leads the field of Democrats, but that at the moment she would lose to Bush by a 15% margin.
Now you know what her slogan is?
No,
my penis is bigger than his.
Vote for Reno, not Bush.
Put it on the bumper sticker.
I see Paris, I see France, I see the president's underpants. Who knows what Jacques Chirac was thinking when he stepped out of his beachfront home this summer? Did he know there were photographers nearby when he stepped out in his underwear? And did he know the paparazzi was there when the president of France stepped out again wearing nothing at all a little later?
Hey, look at my D&D.
Would you like to feast on my twiggin' berries, no?
A French tabloid says he walked out onto the terrace in the south of France wearing nothing south of his waistline.
Fully charged.
The paper says the principal organs of state were in full view to people with binoculars on a nearby yacht.
Hey, look at my nuts. Good morning, Paris.
I am the president of France. Look at this. This is there for you, the whole world to see. Look at my bing bag.
Yeah, because they're nice, the French media shy away from printing such photographs. The pictures are, however, expected to show up in a British tabloid.
Yeah.
The French president's office has no comment on this.
That's right. We'll print it. Look at me.
Yes.
Look at my bing bag.
Look at that. There's your private parts there, Frenchie.
Buzz, we got a break.
All right.
Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Hi, this is pro wrestler Mankind.
Jack Diamond
is a
horse's ass.
Thank you.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
I know we're running late on time again. I apologize about that. But Mike, what is today's date?
Today's date is September 3rd.
Buzz, what's today's date?
The 4th.
Right. You know what that means?
What?
We're supposed to start at WYSB today.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, we are.
But we're not.
No, we're not.
Huh. But it doesn't matter.
Because he has to pay us anyway.
Right.
But we got to get the jackal on the phone.
And he wasn't here today.
Right, he's not here today.
Hmm.
We got a contract that says on September 4th, we start on WYSB in Philadelphia, or they pay us. I mean,
right.
He's not going to pay us a salary for not being on this station.
Cool. We'd much rather get paid for being on the station.
Be on the station, right. So I guess, stay tuned, we should be on in Philadelphia any day.
You might hear us addressing that later in the week.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow you will.
I think that might be a capital idea.
Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I just needled that through. It's September 4th. Why?
Hey, you got me. You know, I mean, and here I am still on vacation, giving you the wrong date and all.
Why was that? September 4th? Well, that's the day it says on the contract he'll put us on WYSB.
Then you know they've noodled that through.
Yeah.
Might be time to call our agent again.
I think so. Oh, my God.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
That's right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. New world records for TV watching have just been set by a man from Brooklyn, a Yale graduate. 32-year-old Kevin Cavini, taking part in a contest sponsored by Court TV, watched 51 consecutive episodes of a show he'd never seen before, NYPD Blue. He says he wasn't sure what he was seeing by the end of the marathon. He says he started hallucinating and eventually found the storylines incomprehensible. Afterward, he slept for 24 hours.
Inconceivable!
Kevin credits caffeine, sugar, and peanuts for getting him through it. He drank coffee and Coca-Cola, ate M&Ms and peanuts while
that'll be a nice BM.
Proceeded to break the World Book records.
Peanuts!
I hallucinated like that in hour 18 of the telethon.
So did Jerry. The contest, which started Friday at 8:30 a.m., allowed for a 5-minute break after each episode and a 15-minute break after every 8 hours, but Kevin wanted to win, so he took no breaks. Among the prizes he won?
What?
A new TV.
Right.
Looks like,
retard.
Looks like Bob Hope won't be coming home from the hospital today after all.
I'm winning.
How much you want to bet Bob Hope never comes home from the hospital?
I don't know if I want to take that bet.
Who wants that bet?
I'm not taking that.
No.
Who wants that bet? I'm serious. I'll bet anybody in this room that Bob Hope never makes it out of the hospital.
I'll bet.
You want to bet?
Good man,
five
Rob.
Bucks.
How much?
Five. He'll
You're
make
on.
It home. He'll make
no.
it home.
Okay. No.
I'm with you on that one.
They might as well just bring him over to the funeral parlor right now.
The 98-year-old comedian has been in a Burbank hospital for over a week suffering from pneumonia.
I'm winning.
It's brandy time.
Pneumonia's the sixth leading cause of death in this country.
I think my dog, Brandy.
Welcome to heaven, Bob.
Wait, you think Bob Hope will be... Oh, I get it. Bob Hope will be Chandra Levy for Halloween.
Okay.
I think Bob Hope might be Chandra Levy for Yom Kippur. Isn't that the next holiday coming up?
For eternity.
No.
Hope's been confined to a wheelchair in recent years, and doctors say he'll probably need several weeks to get back his strength.
I'm winning.
In the meantime, he's on antibiotics, an IV, and a respirator with his wife and daughter at his bedside.
It's me. It's all Jack Frost.
Never coming out. One more buzz.
And Haitia's return to heterosexuality is now a bit more official.
Always knew you liked the baloney pony, honey.
Yeah, little Annie Haitia.
She got married over the weekend.
That's my girl, Anne Haish. God damn, I love her.
Little Annie, is she one of us?
The actress married the cameraman she met while doing a documentary about her ex-girlfriend, Ellen DeGeneres. Haish is 32. Her new husband, Coleman LaFoon, is 27.
LaFoon likes LaFoon.
Capital L, small. Haish and DeGeneres separated a little over a year ago after more than 3 years together. The 43-year-old DeGeneres has a new show this fall on CBS.
Yeah, they separated. Had to use a crowbar.
Thank you, Buzz.
You're
going to call 100. Right now at 877-365-3636.
Rodney.
Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
Where the chicken contributes and the pig makes a commitment. The Don and Mike Show.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, the Washington, D.C. suburbs of Montgomery County, Maryland have been seeing a rash of indecent exposure cases lately.
Chris Core's not number one there, incidentally.
In just a two-week period in August, there were at least a dozen reports about flashers in Montgomery County. Guys were exposing their privates at playgrounds, swimming pools, bus stops, even outside homes and businesses.
Maybe it was Chris Core.
Three men have been arrested so far, but police say even those three men aren't responsible for all of the incidents. So there are still some flashers out there. Police say it's not unusual to have a glut of flasher cases. Last year, they say the genitals appeared in May rather than August.
Ah, in May.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzzy.
You're the best.
Now. Yeah, that's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow.
The all-new episode, all the stuff that we didn't get to today.
God damn, we didn't get to anything today.
No, we ran out of time.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Do I got this thing working right here?
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm caller 100.
There you go. Hi, yeah, what's your name?
Michael.
Michael, where are you from?
I'm from Kearney, New Jersey.
Mike, you got the Say It Ain't So prize. Excuse me, Say It Isn't So prize.
Say It Isn't So.
Say It Isn't So. Comedy hit with Heather Graham now on DVD, but wait, there's more. Mike, you also qualified for our weekly giveaway next Monday. Giving away a trip or two to Miami with round trip air on U.S. Air. And that's courtesy of Visit Florida. See Men in Honor with Robert De Niro on DVD now. Thank you, my friend.
That's great.
Thank you for listening. We got to go. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode, the Jerry Tapes, and everything else. Thank you, and Leah tomorrow. Thank you, and goodbye, Buzz.
Thanks, goodbye, Don.
Thank you, and goodbye, Mike.
Thank you, goodbye, Don.
And then Rob. Chop, chop. We're running late, please. It's time for you to throw your hat in the air, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might
but a live one.
Like a bad porno.
Oh, was that a live one? Think about my dog.
F you, Rob.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
So long, everybody. Bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.